It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrer.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll learn about the role millennials will play in this year's presidential election in Wisconsin and nationwide.
First, nearly 24 years ago, state Supreme Court Justice and current candidate for the state's highest court, Rebecca Bradley, wrote a few editorial pieces disparaging the LGBT community and people with AIDS while she was a student at Marquette University.
Now, a month before Wisconsin voters go to the polls to vote for or against her, the editorials have been made public, and Bradley issued a statement yesterday apologizing for the articles, saying she was young when she wrote them and that the pieces don't reflect her worldview today.
Joining us now to talk about the news and what it could mean for Bradley's campaign is Sarah Benish. She's an associate professor of political science at the UW-Milwaukee. Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, people don't always pay a lot of close attention to our state Supreme Court races. It's not the high-profile thing that a presidential campaign is. Is this going to get people paying attention and maybe in a negative way for Justice Bradley?
I think it probably will. Yeah, as you said, these elections don't get as much attention, although people are spending more and more money on them than they had in the past. But given that it's a nonpartisan election especially, voters tend to not have very much information, and so I think any information they get is going to help inform their vote, and this is certainly information that's getting a lot of attention.
Well, it's nonpartisan in a technical sense, but it seems like in practical terms in Wisconsin, that's more and more of an elaborate fiction, because one side lines up on one candidate's side, one side lines up the other, a lot of partisan donors, and is that that's kind of playing out in how people react to these editorials coming out?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. So I think the expectation is that those who support the justice for re-election or for election after being appointed won't be bothered very much by these revelations. Those who don't support her will only use it as fodder for their claims about her, and people who know nothing maybe will learn something that will influence their vote. So I would say this is most important for those who didn't have an opinion, maybe weren't aware of her politics before the last couple of days.
Right. As you understand it, for those voters who aren't already partisans and already made up their mind on a candidate, how do people usually decide who the right Supreme Court justice candidate is for them?
Well, I think it's really hard in nonpartisan election states. And so I think a lot of the political science research on this points towards having partisan elections, even though they sound bad to us in thinking about judges and what they're supposed to be doing, simply because it provides information to voters. So when you go and see a ballot and one has a Republican signal next to it and the other has a Democrat, you have an idea about whose preferences are going to be closer to your own. When you don't have that cue, it's really difficult to make decisions. And so people make decisions without a lot of information, and sometimes they don't make decisions at all. So ballot roll-off in nonpartisan elections is fairly high, meaning that people will vote for the candidates at the top of the ballot and they'll sort of ignore the Supreme Court election at the bottom.
I wonder how much behavior while a candidate is in college, and this could apply to any race, is weighed by voters. You think of things like, you know, Bill Clinton not inhaling when he was in his 20s, or Rand Paul and his college antics coming up during his races for Senate and President. Now these college-era editorials, is this something that you think voters will look at and say, oh, that was a long time ago, this is youth, or this is an indicator of the character of the person?
I think they're going to, as I said, the people who like her are going to say, oh, this is just college stuff. The people who don't like her are going to say, this is exactly what we've been saying. And so what really matters is the people who didn't have an opinion about her in the first place. And I think, you know, beyond just the words and the opinions that she espoused in those editorials, I think there's a tone that maybe will butt up against what people expect in terms of a judicial temperament.
Talking to Sarah Benish from UW-Milwaukee, looking at the state Supreme Court race after the release of editorials, columns written by candidate Rebecca Bradley. These were released, Sarah, by the group One Wisconsin Now, a fairly partisan liberal group. They would lean toward more the Kloppenburg camp, certainly, than the Bradley camp. Do you think that this is something that groups like One Wisconsin Now and maybe even the Kloppenburg campaign itself might keep reminding us of over the next month?
Oh, I'm sure you'll hear about this a lot, yeah.
So in these campaigns, they're looking for, I guess, anything to send a message about the rival candidate, again, given that you say these are often low-information races?
Yeah, I think judicial campaigns are tough. And so the focus is generally on judicial temperament and being tough on crime and those kinds of things. So that's why you see the Bradley supporters coming out against Kloppenburg's vote in the criminal case that was fairly recent. You'll hear, you know, those kinds of attacks on decisions, all of which are supposed to help voters understand how they would vote were they in office. And we have this fiction around judicial decision-making that it's this, you know, very objective, careful calculation that relies on the text of statutes and constitutions, when in reality we know that just isn't the case because law isn't that precise. And so these opinions and these attitudes about these justices matter. People should vote on the basis of these opinions, and it would be a heck of a lot easier if we would have them just come forward and tell us their party affiliation. Instead, we have to sort of read tea leaves and ascertain, you know, well, if these groups are supporting this justice or judicial candidate, then perhaps this person is going to be more or less aligned with my preferences. You know, a partisan election is much more straightforward with that kind of information.
Right. In campaigns here in Wisconsin, we hear, and we've heard in this campaign, candidates on both sides saying they're not on a side. They're going to interpret the law as best they can. But in reality, in decision making, are ideological markers good indicators of how a justice will rule on particular issues?
Yes, especially when we're talking about a state Supreme Court that has some control over the cases that it hears. You know, so the Wisconsin Supreme Court can focus on important questions and decide cases that matter and that have very close legal arguments on both sides. And when you've got cases like that and it's, you know, reasonable people are going to disagree over the resolution, then, of course, attitudes and policy preferences and preconceived ideas about groups of people and policy issues, those are all going to come in on the margins. And that isn't as clear at lower court levels, but it's certainly the case at Supreme Court levels.
You've made the case here that maybe it would be more honest and open if these were partisan races, if judges wore their ideologies on their sleeves. Over the years in Wisconsin, a lot of newspaper editors and others have been making the case that we shouldn't be electing Supreme Court justices in the first place, that we should have some kind of merit appointment, merit selection. Do you think that would give us less partisan judges?
Well, there's a lot of research on that, too, and I think the most compelling research suggests that the merit selection process or some sort of appointment process doesn't get rid of politics, it just hides it. So instead of having the people voting on the basis of partisan positions, we instead have the governor or an appointing commission or someone else who has more hidden preferences and interests making these decisions for us. So, you know, I think while we tend to feel uncomfortable about electing judges and about putting partisan labels on them, and it's certainly not the case that this is something that is universally agreed upon. Justice O'Connor, for example, is out often trying to promote a movement away from electing Supreme Court justices, especially because of the role of money in these races. Again, given that there's going to be politics regardless, I mean, I'm sure you're noticing the politics surrounding the United States Supreme Court's vacancy. Appointment doesn't fix it.
Briefly, as we wrap up, you know, there was allegedly a physical altercation among Supreme Court justices a few years back, a lawsuit by our now former Chief Justice against the court. These controversies in the news today, do people have the respect for this state Supreme Court that we would like to see them have?
I think this court certainly seems to be a mess, doesn't it? It's very unusual to see these kinds of behaviors coming from state Supreme Court justices, and I do worry that it will affect the way that the public perceives the court, and you know, maybe rightfully so. I mean, it seems that they're not behaving in the ways that we would expect justices to behave, although Rebecca, the justice has talked about the fact that it's been collegial since she's been there. So perhaps we're on a change of course, but it's certainly the case that there's no love lost between the former Chief Justice and some of the more conservative justices on the court.
We'll leave it there for now. Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Sarah Benesch, Associate Professor of Political Science at the UW-Milwaukee.